What's up, everybody? It is Thursday, July 15th, and you are listening to the Pat McAfee Show 2.0. Pat just hopped on a plane to head down to Houston because tomorrow night on Fox, SmackDown is live. Today's a good one. Chris Moutinho might be the toughest guy on the face of the earth. He stops by after his fight at UFC 264 with Sugar Sean O'Malley. Ian Rappaport stops by to chat about everything going on in the NFL. And AJ Hawk makes his third straight appearance after taking 3 weeks off. We appreciate you guys for listening. Let's get into it.
We're not 100% sure why you listen or watch every single day, but we are very thankful for it. And every single day when we walk into this studio, we say, you know what? We're going to put the best fucking show out that has ever existed.
Of all time.
Hell yeah.
That has ever existed.
Uh-huh.
We're not just talking for the shows that we have done. We're talking about in the history of just shows.
Mm-hmm.
Best one.
What type of shows? You talking like American Gladiator? Yeah. I'm talking just things that were watched by humans. We do not have enough time in this 3-hour slot on SiriusXM to get into that and just list off a bunch of shows. But every time we walk in here, we go, you know what? Let's have the best show in the history of fucking shows. And today we have that attitude. Today we got Chris Moutinho.
Ooh. Okay.
Milford, Massachusetts' greatest jaw.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The paint factory worker who took a fight with Sugar Sean O'Malley, friend of the show, with a couple days notice or whatever, and ate 177 punches to the face. This is what he...
Low flying.
What's
here. Going on?
I think Moutinho's here.
Airdrop? Military exercise.
Yeah.
Checking in right now.
Is that unidentified aerial phenomenon?
No. I mean, on the roof?
I mean, it sounds like... Sorry about that. I don't know if you can hear this or not.
Learjet. Chinese spy plane.
A plane, maybe. Could have been from anywhere. The spies could have been from anywhere at this point. But the drop in there, it felt like a plane was actually... helicopter landing on top of the studio for there for a second. Shadow, a little bit of a little rattle there.
Wild.
So shout out to whatever plane that was. And I completely forgot what we were talking about.
Chris show of all time.
Chris Moutinho.
Moutinho. Yeah. A little too far back. Moutinho, though, we're going to get a chance to chat with him. Is he altered at all brain-wise after what happened to him? He went to the hospital, which I think happens in a lot of fight situations. If there has been any damage, they take him to the hospital. I don't know if that's like a, let's just go get this whole thing checked. But after you eat 177 punches and Herb Dean has to stop that thing instead of you getting knocked out, which I think he got knocked out one time. We'll ask him about it. But I'm very impressed with a human that has this capability.
Absolutely.
You know, there's people that can do a lot of things. Joey Jaws Chestnut, he can eat 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes and nobody else can do it. And it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
You know Shohei Ohtani?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Shohei Ohtani can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour. He can hit a baseball 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he can do whatever the hell he wants. That is something I would like to watch because that's a once. This guy, I don't know how many humans can sit there and eat 177 punches. So much so that the person you fought against who has knockout power and has knocked out basically everybody he has fought in a big spotlight, you hurt his hand so much that he has to go on a medical.
Yeah,
UFC's like, until you figure out your hands a little bit. And what's wrong? You just punch a skull 177 times. I can't wait to chat with him, see what his life is like. I have no idea what the future looks like for Chris Moutinho. I wonder if he does. I just know that he woke up on Monday morning after eating all this. Hey, he was at jiu-jitsu class.
That's right. Not missing a thing.
He was teaching. He was training. He got
rolling with the boys.
He got $75,000 bonus because the performance he put on out there with Sugar Sean, who was shaking him and crossing him, and did beat the hell out of him. I mean, was just pounding his face like drums there for a while. He got $75,000 for that. If not, he would have got $18,000 for that fight.
Ooh.
And he's just living his life right now. I wonder if he's going back to the paint factory. What's going on? We get a chance to chat with him. Also, Ian Rappaport will join us in the second hour.
Bro.
He has become our go-to insider guy.
100%.
He really has, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Big fan of Rap Sheet.
I like Rap Sheet too.
Love the guy.
Kind of gives and takes a little bit.
Yeah,
seems
sure.
He does have a pretty good feel for what's going on. Because at this point, the insider game, there is, you know, Shefty and Rapp are always going to be, you know, the top dogs.
Of course.
In the football world. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's how it's going to go. But there are so many. Chris Mortensen is still an insider game. There
Glazer.
Glazer is kind of like.
He's also in that rarefied air.
Well, we're talking day-to-day, though.
True.
Okay,
true.
We're talking day-to-day. Glazer is a season. Hey, something massive comes. He's lived the day-to-day for so long. He doesn't do it anymore. He's, you know, Fox NFL Sunday. Hashtag JNew. He just chooses not to break a lot of news, but we're talking day to day. It's kind of, you know, Shefty and Rapp, and then Field and Pelissero mm-hmm. and Mortensen will dabble in the day to day, but we're getting our news only from a couple different people. So it's interesting that the Richard Sherman stuff all came from Schefter.
Yeah.
Yesterday we asked Schrags about it, who also I think a little bit of an insider, but he's mostly friends with people. I don't know if he wants to dabble in the inside game going forward. I think he's found his lane as like the maybe inside information, but pundit, fun opinion. I talk to that type of thing, but the Schefter Sherman situation. That's the only person we got any information yesterday. It was rolling out, by the way, in bunches. As the day was unfolding, I think everybody started getting more and more sad for the situation and potentially what's going on with Richard Sherman, not only obviously in this event, but behind closed doors in general. If you're drinking, allegedly now, two different bottles, a bottle of vodka and Hennessy, unless it's just somebody has talked to you and is celebrating something awesome, you're trying to cover for something, right? You're trying to do something. So, crazy, scary situation, but only came out from Schefter. So what has Rappaport's people said to him? What are some other sides of the story? Also, there's franchise tag deadlines that are happening. So if nobody was able to negotiate an extension on their contract by today or tomorrow, I don't know which day it is. I should know that. This happened to me one time. You're automatically locked into the franchise tag if you signed it. We'll talk to him about that. Did anybody ever really have any conversations? Because there was – once franchise tag was signed this year, we didn't hear any conversation.
Not really, no.
No one has gotten a deal who has Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Cam Robinson, the left tackle in Jacksonville. No one's gotten one.
And by the way, a lot of people who were free agents, they signed basic franchise tag deals anyways.
Yeah.
A lot of one-year deals, guaranteed money deals, which is what a franchise tag is. So this year, the franchise tag isn't as hated or as dramatic, you know, with some controversy as other years, because a lot of people were signing one-year deals because of what happened with salary cap. Yeah. So kind of not that big of a story, but we can talk about who got the franchise tag, who didn't. Godwin is one person that's being talked about down there in Tampa. In the statement came out from Field Yates, I believe, Rappaport, sorry about that. Rappaport said they will work to keep him long-term this coming offseason as they did this past offseason. So that message is coming directly from the Buccaneers. That's not Godwin's people. The Buccaneers. That's the Buccaneers. People releasing a statement through Ian Rappaport going, hey, we want him back though. Like, we're not happy that we didn't come to a long term deal. It's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
Need you to make sure everybody knows that this is a good thing. We're okay. We still want him back, because if they go, if they don't say anything and it potentially like, oh, Godwin signs franchise tag, and then Godwin's people say like wanted a long term deal, the narrative automatically goes that, oh, is there a little bit of
a
so just as small as that little lead that they left with Ian, it's like a positive, like, hey, they would still like to make this work next year whenever the salary cap isn't completely fucked because COVID is hopefully not.
Wow. I mean,
man, you saw my brain. I literally went.
Yeah, you were right there.
It was like the the loading thing. That was literally what you saw my brain go all the way to about right here. And it's
97.
Like,
yeah. Stopped.
Oh, shit. Dan White.
Man. A lot of other people, too. Hey, there's people tweeting. Really? There's a lot of people that were tweeting about some statistics up in your neck of the woods up there in New England. I guess there's some statistics coming out. Whatever. We beat COVID. Fuck it. This ain't going to happen. Okay. This might be a freezing cold thing. But I am not going to go back on us celebrating the potential
Can't
life coming back.
No. Can't do it.
Did you see Milwaukee last night?
Oh, yeah, man. It was rocking.
Oh, my God.
It was rocking.
Anyways, the salary cap going forward is going to be much different, I think, than it was this year, especially with the new digital streaming deals that are going to roll in and with the deals that are currently in place potentially being negotiated out of. So I think this, although they signed a, 10-year, $110 billion deal?
Yep. Which is real. That's not a fake number. That
10-year, the NFL signed a 10-year, $110 billion negotiation on content, basically.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But all of those contracts, I think, are potentially renegotiable if another, say, Apple wants to get in or somebody else wants to get in, because Fox is already negotiating with Amazon to give them another year in advance to get out of that contract earlier. So I think there's going to be so much money pouring in that this year a lot of people are thinking, okay, the salary cap's going to be much different next year.
Yeah.
Projections are projections, but what happens whenever Amazon has an incredible year and wants to get in and dump even more money? We want even more money. We want this. Like, that salary cap could very much grow. And with all the, now Chris Ballard told us yesterday that somebody's going to, at some point, you're going to have to pay the Pied Piper.
Yep. Right.
At some point, you're going to have to do it. That's what Chris said. So you got to be smart. I don't know. Maybe that's not the way it is anymore. I didn't want to press him on it because he knows a lot more about it than I do. But there's people doing magic down there. We'll talk to Rapoport about how the franchise tag plays into all of that and any other news he's potentially hearing about. At Boston Connor, the Open just teed off this morning. Your thoughts?
I mean, you know, after the whole it's coming home for the last month and a half, I figured I'm going to put my money on a couple English guys. England needs a win. I took Tommy Fleetwood. He eagled on six, Bruce told me.
Really?
So we're rolling right now. Ian Poulter was brought up yesterday.
Yeah.
I took him. He's plus two. He probably won't make the cut.
Oh, he stinks.
He does turn out stinking, of course.
No, he's funny. I like
him. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's got the style. Maybe he partied a little too hard with the whole England soccer
team. Ian Poulter stinks. Yeah,
I like Ian Poulter. I seen him hit a 7-iron. Through his Lamborghini window.
That's right. And that's what sold me on it. I was like, oh, okay.
In one window, at the other, hopped back in the car, drove it off.
See ya.
Drove in, hit through, drove off. I'm like, all right, I like that guy. But you're saying he stinks at actual golf. What's this all about?
I mean, he's way better than I will ever be. I'm just saying at the moment he's not looking good. And, of course, Louis Oosthuizen is back in the front, and he's the top dog now.
What's his name?
Louis Oosthuizen.
Woostazen, right?
Woostazen, Eustazen,
Eustazen, Eustahuzen.
Hey, Willie's in there doing it. Don't be so ignorant to these names, by the way.
No, hey, that's I never said that. That's one of those. That's not an original.
I mean,
oh, you say you stole from somebody.
Oh, yeah, the sports pope. It's gospel. You're allowed to read. You're allowed to recite the Bible in the sports game if you have to.
I mean, if Francesa is the sports pope,
which he is.
And we are in sports talk.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
He is basically the book writer, right?
He's gospel.
TJ's point yesterday, he is the word.
So you're allowed to just quote him without giving him credit whenever
just
on the microphone?
What do you mean? I just did. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but only because we like pressed you about it a little. And I mean me. Ty was about to go, yeah, fucking rip his shit.
No, Ty hit the other Louis Oosthuizen ways he's pronounced it.
Hey, Frances is the best, by the way.
He's the best. He's fucking the king. Goat, yeah.
But back to Ian Poulter. You want him to win over Phil? I mean, Phil's on the course right now. So why don't you say, yeah, that's cool. He can hit it through the Lamborghini. But guess what he's not doing is getting out of the pot bunkers like Phil is.
It might have been a Ferrari, by the way. John Rahm, I saw, have a little bit of a battle with the pot bunker early. I think he did a little 2-for-1 action in there. They will attack you. And Phil's incredibly soft hands are vital for the Open.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, this is what you need it for. The bombers aren't going to perform well because the Brit style of golf is a miserable one.
Like, that's right.
Hey, listen, if you don't hit the fairway, your life's miserable. Hey, this once 4-hour round, guess what? 7.
Boom. That's right.
That's what the Brits golf is like. Now, I have not golfed over there personally, so maybe one day when I get a chance to go golf over there, I'll change my thoughts. But watching them golf out there, it's like they want to punish you if you hit bad shots.
I respect
it. I appreciate it. But there is zero chance I would golf over there if that's how every single course was. I would not be able to do it.
No, you cannot hit it in the fescue. You cannot hit it in the long grass. I mean, you get in there, especially for an average golfer. Like you said, I mean, you're playing 14, 16-hour round if you're not hitting it right down the fairway every single time.
I mean, you're maybe cracking 150, 200.
Maybe. Losing at least like 2 boxes of balls.
Phil Mickelson ain't doing that, though. Phil Mickelson's got hands. Phil Mickelson, is he coming on the show?
I thought that was happening next week after he wins the British Open.
Well, I was going to say, if he could come on the show with the claret jug.
Yeah.
And also his PGA championship.
Boom.
Oh.
And the silver medal from the match.
Have to.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Did they get those that they immediately took off like the English did whenever they lost that Euros? That was wild to me, by the way. Did you see
that
soccer? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, I guess I don't, that legitimately could have been my first ever medal ceremony in soccer that I've watched.
Yeah, mm-hmm. watching it through.
You know, just watching the entire.
Yeah.
Second place, getting those medals, and then the immediate takeoff of it while still on TV, while the person who's handing you the medals is miserable too.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Well, why do they even do it? Why do they even give them the medal? I don't know what the big thing is. It's like, I guess it's cool to just, you know, this ain't good enough. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, but they're not even letting it touch their shoulders.
I mean, that thing is quickly up.
The guy doesn't even get to put it on. A lot of people just grab the medal as soon as they get it and just take it right off.
And Gumpy will run in here to give us a little bit more information, hopefully, if he's not diving too deep into FanDuel Sportsbook right now, trying to find some winners for Hammer Down, which airs at 4 o'clock Eastern, basically, roughly. Could mm-hmm. be in that time slot at youtube.com/Hammer Down every day and gives out winners on tops of winners. That, yeah. But they work. They actually dive into thing. Mm-hmm. So they normally join us for the second hour. I'm calling Gumpy in now. Gumpy, if you could explain to us a little bit here, because we got to this obviously talking about the match with Phil Mickelson and him potentially getting a silver medal, and now we're right back to the Europes. Gumpy, that silver medal getting taken right off of the head as soon as it touched the thing, and I said, oh, this is awesome. And everybody attacked me like, oh, well, is this your first medal ceremony, loser? It's like, I guess. Yeah, what are we even talking about? Who's the loser who watches this on a regular basis? I didn't say that. I didn't mean it. It was just something I could have shot back with to Barry said person, like Mahomes did to guy in the crowd that would have just, and this is just a burial, and then Herbert got a shot there. But that happens all the time. That's what it is. And why do they still do it then?
Tale as old as time. It's tradition. You have to do it. Even when I played growing up, we did the exact same thing. You went through it and you had to watch, and it was just all part of the whole thing.
Man, I don't remember ever getting second place.
Ayo.
No, I'm joking. No, I am joking. We came in second a lot. I don't remember doing that. I think we were more of a trophy town. I think
I was going to say, I don't remember getting, I mean, it was trophy always. I don't remember the medals.
Oh, really?
Because
for us, it was the same. It was the whole medal thing, and you went, they used to have it like it was, you know how they walk up the stairs? Like even when we had tournaments, you went and there was like a walk into the bleachers kind of, and they did the whole medal thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I don't, maybe we did that. I don't remember.
But yeah, that's just the,
Sterling didn't.
Get it off.
Sterling didn't, by the way. He kept his on.
He kept it on.
Yeah, because I thought to myself after every person did it and seeing it for the first time, I was like, a little disrespectful. I feel like
a little bit
disrespectful to the Europes, by the way. You getting second in Europe, you might as well fucking just throw it in the trash. It's mm-hmm. like this tournament's worth nothing. If you're either first or you're absolute last, that was my first initial thoughts while I'm watching it. And I was like, oh, second's not good enough. Okay, got it. And then Sterling kept his on, and I was like, okay, there's a guy that Gumpy talked about him a lot. He must be like an OG on this team.
Yeah.
He must be a veteran on this team. He was good on this team. He's holding on to it. So maybe it isn't like, I'm kind of torn on it. As somebody who absolutely hates it, if they're going to continue to do it, I would probably take it off.
Probably.
I mean,
especially after the whole, it's at home too.
Yeah, but why are they even do it?
Is it like the handshake line in hockey?
Yeah.
You know, even after you tradition. Beat the piss out of someone, like, hey, let's go fucking shake the boys' hands.
They do it in Champions League, all of it.
Let's go shake their hand.
Yeah.
Did you see the coach for the Lightning was mic'd up, and for the
handshake
for the handshake? With
oh
the Canadians,
yeah, saw some of that. Yeah,
the habitants. I wonder how the other coach feels or how the players feel, because he was like complimenting the players. You know, you got a great future,
the young guy.
Yeah, you got a bright future. You're really good or whatever. And it's like they're obviously very nice to each other. Mm-hmm. But was there ever a moment where the player thought to himself, "Hey, fuck off."
Yeah, hey, see ya,
buddy. I don't care what you think. Is there ever a thought of that? I don't know. That's my first thought when this guy was talking to me. I just lost Stanley Cup or whatever. I'd be mm-hmm. like, hey, pal, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Is that Nick can tell me this. Nick, that coach highly respected down there for the Lightning?
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't been in the league a long time, but in the short amount of time he has been, he's gained a lot of respect because they win.
Yeah, and he's won, I mean, two Stanley Cups, but mm-hmm. I like that. This would be almost be – and how about the Canadiens coach? How
he was an interim coach. They fired their coach earlier in the season.
So that's why he was like – he came in and was like, hey, listen, you guys are hell of a run.
I did everything I could. Listen,
if I was there for you guys, if I was coaching your team, you guys probably win a little bit more. They made it to the finals. They made it to the – with a interim head coach.
Yeah, he just got a new 3-year deal now after that run they were
on. Yeah, I was about to say, so he's now the head coach, mm-hmm. I would assume.
Yeah.
We did that, didn't we, at the Penguins? We brought in a guy, he went on a run.
Twice.
Yeah, and then everybody tries to run him out of town the next time we start losing.
Oh, really? Did he win the Stanley Cup when he came in or no?
Sully, yeah.
Yeah, first year.
Wow.
He came up from the baby pens, I think, right?
Yep. He came in halfway through the year. Same thing with Dan Bylsma, Disco Dan in 2009.
Disco Listen. Dan.
Hey, Disco Dan was all right. Disco Dan, pretty good time, Bowsma. He had that same look. Jens has had enough of him, ran his ass.
Really? He got real cocky real quick, and then he kind of ran dry.
And then old Sully came up from the Bay Pens, man. I mean, are you kidding me right now? Am I piecing together coaching trees?
Yeah.
In the hockey world?
In NHL.
I would like a little bit more respect in the hockey conversation, please.
Well, you're the aficionado. I mean, we all know.
Yeah, we know. I pulled that out of my ass so bad, but I remember because he brought a goalie up from the Baby Pens that he was comfortable with or something like that.
Matt Murray.
There we go.
How about that? And then he ran Math out of town.
And then we ran Murray out of town, and Solly's still around.
Now you got Johnny.
We have some big news for you.
Yeah.
Your favorite men's healthcare brand, Roman, is now available at Walmart. Roman's non-prescription products have got you covered with everything from sexual health. Aaron, you're about to get back in the game, by the way. Yeah, Let's go.
Should send him some.
We should. Or just send them to Walmart because it's available there. Roman and Walmart. And everything from sexual health to everyday health. Your well-being is important and taking care of it should be simple. Now you can add to cart in real life. Ooh. Roman now available at Walmart. We're in your area. Let's go take care of it. And also, special Roman condoms are new and exclusive to Walmart. You won't find them anywhere else. Designed ultra thin, lubricated for pleasure, and FDA cleared because safe is sexy.
Hell yeah.
Roman swipes are an easy, discreet way to delay ejaculation and increase sexual stamina. They're fast-acting, and your partner will enjoy them, too, because there's no passed-along desensitization if you use it as intended. Longer, better sex with Roman swipes. Roman condoms keep you safe. And also, they got testosterone supplements. They got hair supplements. Mm-hmm. Roman has everything to make you the best you possible. Visit your local Walmart store today and check out Roman's line of men healthcare products. All clinically tested, make you best you possible. Joining us now from Milford, Massachusetts, I believe. Not 100% sure if he still lives there.
We're
fixing something.
Foxy
sorry.
Did a fool.
Double thumbs down? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
And then like quick pointing and everything like that. I mean, Lord. It was quite in. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now. On Saturday night, this man took 177 punches to the face and did not get knocked out.
Yeah.
He was 30 seconds away from finishing a fight that nobody thought he would be able to finish just 30 to 40 seconds into the fight. One of the toughest humans to ever be created or grace this earth from Milford. Jeez, I almost got it wrong. Can't do that. Because if I know anything about Milford, Massachusetts, they will come and beat the shit out of me.
All big old Josh.
Not just this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Moutine.
Yeah!
Woo! How are you, dude?
I'm good, man. How are you?
How? Can I ask you just how you... Have you always just been the toughest dude of all time? It looked like you were on, like, autopilot. Like, were you with it the entire time there? There was never any days or anything? That's unbelievable. You might have a world record for toughness.
According to my friends, I'm a pansy, so who knows, man? It is what it is. It's another day in the office, and I'm just happy you all enjoyed the fight.
Oh, we absolutely loved it. Fight of the night, obviously. Congratulations on that, especially taking the fight late. I think the guy you were fighting, Sean, he's a good friend of our show. He wants to put on a show. It wants to be a performance. Without you, I don't know if that performance is anywhere near what it could have been because he unloaded. And he said to us yesterday that every time he was punching you in the face, you would stand back up, get in his mouth, and talk shit to him, like call him like a bitch and everything like that. Is that just how you are all the time? Is that because Milford, Massachusetts, this is just kind of how life is?
Yeah, I don't know where you're from, man, but we're from Massachusetts, bro. Yeah. And you know how we are. If you're from any come out here, see these people, this is how we are, man. Like we talk shit, we love to get in each other's face, and it's just what I'm used to, man. It's what I'm used to at the gym with my boys, and it was just he brought it to that level, so I had to keep going.
It's awesome. We're from Pittsburgh, pretty similar place, I believe. There's a lot of shit talking. I think that's why we respect and appreciate it. We're talking to Chris Moutinho. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that's close enough. That's close enough.
No, I want to make it right because I know that if we were to fight, even if I was to train and potentially get good at something, you would still beat the hell out of me and run right through everything. What is it? How is it pronounced?
It's Moutinho.
One more?
Moutinho.
Moutinho.
Yeah.
Chris Moutinho. Sorry about that. I got it wrong early. Thank you for joining us. So we saw the pictures of you at training on Monday morning after that whole thing. Did you go, you went to the hospital after the fight? What happened post fight after everything we saw to that picture we saw Monday morning of you back in training?
That was like I didn't want to go to the hospital. It was just it was like a mandatory thing. Like I had to go to get checked out and just make sure I didn't have any brain bleeding. So it was just like a precautionary check. I was good. My brain was good. I just went. As soon as I got home, I was like, we got to get going for the next one. So I'm just ready to go now. I'm going to be in the gym all week and all next week, and we're gonna get ourselves ready for the next one.
What did the doctors say? Nothing wrong?
Nothing, man. I'm good. I'm clean, man. He don't hit that hard.
Have you ever
hit with a bat to get me out? So that's the way it is.
Have you ever been knocked out?
Yeah, I've been knocked out before. But it was never on my feet. You know what I mean? If I'm on my feet, you're not gonna drop me, man. That's just the way I feel. That's the way I believe. I believe in myself fully to the highest extent, man. You gotta hit me. You gotta really hit me to put me down.
Yeah, well, it was very evident on Saturday night, leading off the second biggest UFC pay-per-view in history, 1.8 million buys. Chris Moutinho out of Milford, Massachusetts. How'd you get into the fight game? You're a wrestler. I see now, like, I don't want to stereotype, but anytime you see the cauliflower, you immediately think to yourself, okay, this guy's high school experience was much different than mine. He was cutting weight. He was beating people up. He was wrestling. He was doing that whole thing. Is that how you got into it? And how did you find mixed martial arts?
Yeah, I was a very cliched like that, man. I wrestled in high school. And after high school, you're just drinking too much. You don't really have anything to do. You want to compete again. I wasn't good. I wasn't gifted with athleticism, so I couldn't play football, baseball, anything like that. So I found a gym open in my hometown, man, by a UFC fighter. His name is George Rivera. Got me into this sport and built me up and showed me what I needed to do to get to these levels in this sport. And from there on, I was stuck, man. I was a gym rat from that there on, man. I've been in all different gyms all across the country and all over the world, and I'm just excited and blessed to be finally here, you know?
Your style is just to put pressure on people at all times? Is that your style in every single fight? Is that what we should expect whenever we see you there? It was bang, pow, poom, poom, poom. You're a bitch. Just bang, 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 bang. Fuck you. There was 3 to 4 different times we were certain there was no way this human was going to remain standing. I mean, we all watched it together. It was a late night. It was amazing. Is that your style? Are you a guy who likes to get hit, does get hit, not scared to get hit, and is just always going to put pressure and take risks? Like, what is your full style?
Yeah, for sure, man. I like to push the pace. I like to make it a fight. I like to be in your chest. And I'm used to being in there with bigger dudes than Sean, you know what I mean? My training partners most of my life growing up were heavyweights and 85ers and middleweights. So when you get hit by them, man, the little guys don't feel the same, you know what I mean? So it's just what I'm used to, man. I'm used to being in your face and being in your chest. If I got to take a shot to give a shot, I'll do it. And it's usually pays off. This time I kind of turned into a hockey fight and it didn't go my way, you know what I mean? This is what happens sometimes, man. Sometimes you got to take those ass whoopings, and it's something I'm very comfortable doing, man. I'm okay with winning and losing as long as I know I put a good account for myself.
Well, I want to let you know, Chris, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. For all of us as fans, anybody that gets in there is a badass, obviously. So big thank you for even stepping in there and taking the fight on late notice. I think after talking to you and watching you fight, there was zero chance of you turning that down, right? You were just waiting and waiting and waiting for that moment. Or how did the fight come about? Was there any other plans you had? Were you training for a fight already?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I was supposed to be fighting in August down in Mississippi for CFFC, and it kind of like came as like maybe we'll get a shot. Like his opponent pulled out. My manager was like, "It's a long shot, man. We'll just throw your name in there, see what happens." And then literally like 2 days later, I was getting DMs from random people telling me I'm gonna get knocked out, I'm gonna get beat up, I'm gonna die, all this other stuff, and I didn't even get the answer yet. 3 seconds after that, my manager hit me up and he was like, "Yo, you better make weight, man. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. And let the cards fall where they may." You know what I mean?
Hey, the die thing's a big deal, huh? Especially in a fight game, because that's potential. Like, that has probably happened before in cages and stuff like that. Is it or is it not? Because Sean said yesterday, which was fascinating, he said some people say Connor crossed the line. Who's deciding where the line is, though, and especially in the fight game? Is the die thing, because you mentioned it there, and since it's become something with the way the Dustin and Connor thing happened, is that one of those unwritten rules in the fight game, or is it just no holds barred?
I think every clown says, oh, we're putting our life on the line. It's really not, man. There's people going to war every day, really putting their life on the line. So I find it pretty disrespectful when this is something we do for fun. I do this for fun. I go to the gym every day. I get punched in the face for fun, man. If I really thought my life was on the line, man, there's a ref in there to tell me when to stop. You obviously saw it. He stopped it when he thought my life was on the line, and I didn't think my life was on the line. You know what I mean? So. There's somebody in there. There's always things. Very rarely does that ever happen, man. It happens, but very, very rarely. So I don't know. People do more dangerous things just and not get paid for it, man. So I don't see that, but hey, teach his own.
Yeah, and you were also said earlier, I'm from Milford, Massachusetts. All right, we say some terrible shit. I mean, that is just what we do. You were working in a paint factory. Is that real? That was your full-time job, and then you would just go train and then fight and then back to the paint factory? And what did you do in the paint factory? You were all gassed up or gas masked up, or were you just eating those things, eating those fumes on a daily basis?
Yeah, we eating those fumes. 70, 80 hours a week, man, working a line, filling paint cans, then trying to go train afterwards, training 7-8 days a week, you know what I mean? 7 days a week, just working, man. And that's what my life was for the last 6-7 years, you know what I mean? And then literally a month before this fight, I decided I'm going to commit my whole life to this. I'm going to quit my job. I can't do this no more. I'm going to train. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to start personal training and all that stuff. Literally a month after that, I'm in the UFC and enjoying my life, doing what I love to do. And the only thing I've ever loved to do, I've never loved anything else. I love getting smacked across my face, and I love smacking other humans across their face and seeing whose brain pops out of their head first. Man, this is what I love to do, and this is what I'm going to do until my body can't do it no more.
Let's go.
Yeah!
Woo! That's an American dream story right there, Chris. Legit, like that is so cool to hear. Connor, we have a Massachusetts stooge here too, and as soon as he saw you, because we didn't, I mean, we're a sports show, but we're the dumbest of all time. We didn't do enough research. We knew Sean was fighting somebody. We knew it was something last minute. As soon as it popped up that you were from Milford, Massachusetts, our Massachusetts stooge went, oh, no, hey, uh-huh. He's got a Milford jaw. He literally said that as soon as it said your name and where you were from, and then as we were watching it, it was like fucking Connor.
Yeah.
Scouting fighters of the year here. What do you have, Connor?
Yeah, Chris, I saw you mentioned that you were bummed that Herb Dean stopped the fight and you wanted to go out on your shield, as you put it. Do you have a conversation with the refs like, hey, I got the greatest jaw on the planet, so you don't have to stop this if I'm knocked out? You'll know, but don't worry, I won't be. Or do you just kind of hope that he knows that?
He should know that, man. I've seen that dude let other guys go in a lot worse situations. You know what I mean?
177 punches to the face.
A lot worse than that, man. You can go watch the fights. Go watch.
Okay.
Go watch my boy Calvin versus Max Holloway. Go watch it. He looked like he was gonna fucking die in that fight, and he let him keep going. You like Rory McDonald versus Robbie Lawler, where Rory's face and nose is smashed into his brain, and he looks like he's gonna die. And they let that fight keep going until he couldn't go anymore. So this is what I'm saying, man. It's I'll take mine. If I go out on my own, it's my choice. Let me go out on my own, and that's just the way I feel about it. But hey, he made his decision. He made his choice, and I was going to lose that fight regardless, so it doesn't really matter to me. A loss is a loss to me, and it's going to hurt regardless.
Okay, so I think we were all incredibly impressed. And if you would have – I think our initial response, even as Sugar friends and fans, we were like, oh, let the guy finish at least. Yeah. You know, let this thing go. I think everybody's immediate reaction was – and then me being somebody who is outside, just – I watch the pay-per-views. I don't know enough about the weeds of the MMA world. I started getting people and seeing people's tweets that were like – And then I heard Sean say, that's a lot of head damage that just happened. It is something where that's a fine balance in your sport that doesn't have to happen anywhere else. And I appreciate the fact you're like, yeah, it's just kind of the way it is or whatever. What a fucking show there. When you see that Herb Dean's going to be the ref. So in our sport, in football, the team, not that it matters from my position, but the team knew the refs that were going to be in. And it was like, okay, this is a holding penalty ref crew here. They look for this. Pass interference, there's a potential big plays because they call this. You just rattled off those. Did you know those fights going in with him being the ref and knew like, okay, this is potentially going to be one where as long as I can withstand it, this is going to go all 15 minutes? Or is this afterwards when you're pissed off about him stopping it, you learn about the ego, this didn't happen? Is this pre-research or is this afterwards that you're kind of pissed off that he stopped it?
It's a little bit of both. You know what I mean? Like I know Herb, everybody knows Herb. He's like the best ref in the UFC. Everybody loves Herb, and I still have nothing bad to say about him, man. He still seems like a really good dude, who's a great human being, and he made his choice. That's just what it is. But you know what I mean? I've just seen it too many times, man. Seen too many fighters get their shot. I've seen too many fighters get to go out on their sword, get to go out on their shield, and I just feel like I should have got that, man. And look at me now. I'm still training. I'm in the gym. Hey. The other guy's laid up for 6 months. I don't know what to tell you, man. I took 200 punches. I'm good, man. I'm good. Somebody else is fucked up, though. It's not me.
It's so funny that, you know, people say in fighting, you got your hands are your weapons and your feet are your weapons. And, you know, your face is an actual weapon.
Oh, yeah.
It broke hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your face is a weapon. It's amazing to watch. Go ahead, Ty.
Chris, I assume when you sign like the fight, when you're a fill-in like that, it's only a one fight deal. Have you talked to Dana White at all about like, is your next fight going to be in the octagon? You just alluded to it. Do you have any type of medical suspension or are you looking to get back in there, you know, as soon as possible?
I got a 60-day suspension, so I got a 60-day just for my own safety, make sure I don't get any more brain damage just because.
Smart.
But I got a four-fight deal with the UFC. I don't know if I'm supposed
to say that. Come on.
I got a four-fight deal even when I signed that contract, so I was always going to get another shot back in the UFC. And I'm just excited, man, because I think it was because of how big the fight was and taking it on against such a tough opponent. Like Sean is a really tough opponent. He's really good. He's really talented. High level cat. So I was always going to get another fight in the UFC. It's just now I got to make them count, man. Because like I don't care what it is, how great everybody's, how much smoke everybody's blowing up my ass, man. It's still a loss. A loss is a loss, and you can't do too many of those, even if they're great fights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chris, I don't recommend this, but I'm not Dana White either, okay? But if we got a guy who's going to go out and eat 200 punches, I mean, that is like a UFC fan's dream because all anybody wants is to see people throw and see people fight. Like, now, granted, there's the people I want to see technicality and the jujitsu and everything like that. And I assume, by the way, that you are highly skilled in all of that and you will only continue to get better and everything. But your fight was – Chris Lytle is in Indiana, mm-hmm. and we got a chance to meet him for a bit there, and I actually trained with him twice, and then I stopped because it was I got both of my arms broken, okay? And I tapped out with a double arm bar, so I'm not going to go in there. But his fights, fight of the night, he never got knocked out, never got submitted in 30-some fights, man. I would never recommend you to do that, but I think you are going to be a gift to Dana, and Dana might not have known that before the fight, but now he's like, we got a guy all of a sudden, so we're here for you. Do you have any nicknames? You have a nickname, or are you just Chris Moutinho?
I just go by Chris, but it's soulless. I try to show the world that I'm fucking soulless all the time, man. But it's all that stuff's crazy, man. I'm gonna try to put on fights of the night every time I get in this cage, man, and be that guy. But it's I just gotta win, man. That's the only difference. I'm gonna put on fight of the night every time. I'm gonna break that fight of the night record, and I think it's like 15. So 15 fights of the night, and then we'll worry about where I go after that.
Hey, can't get knocked out. You don't have a soul. The soulless Chris Moutinho. We can't thank you enough, brother.
Yeah.
Have a good one, Chris.
Woo!
looking at some old school golf clips. They used to wear some incredibly hilarious things while they golfed for 9 to 10 hours on a golf course so they can get away from their families for a while and chase a little ball around in full three-piece suits that were rolled up right below their knees. Wild that the game has progressed and evolved so much. It's a beautiful sport. It's a beautiful game. We're watching the Open right now from, where is it?
Royal St. George's.
Of course.
Okay. Yep.
Royal St. George's.
Southern Let's England. Go.
Southern what?
England.
Okay, it's down there in the southern part of England. And when people talk about the southern part of England, they say those golf courses down there?
Tough.
Tough.
Yeah, look out.
Hey, not easy courses. These are tough courses. The boys over there are playing. We're watching along live. And joining us from an attic in Ohio. Yeah, college football on it 2 days in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
Is this 3 days in a row?
This is three days in a row.
3 days in a row now.
I did not think he was coming.
Unbelievable human being, A.J. Hawk.
Yeah!
3 days, dude.
3 days, man. Congrats. Let's keep track.
Holy
well,
shit.
Well, I mean, tomorrow you're going to be in studio here in Indianapolis.
Wow.
Have you thought about that yet? What the show is going to look like, going to sound like? I'll be with you probably FaceTime in the first hour or so, maybe hour and a half or whatever. You know, I'm pumped for it, but this is your show. Everybody knows that. What's it going to be about tomorrow? Any big conversation pieces on the horizon?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to see what happens tonight. I'm sure some stuff will break before. You'll be upset because you're like, oh, I'm not in studio for one day, and of course the biggest news breaks, and I'm not there. Like, you'll probably get upset, and then we'll talk about it on the show, and it'll make it fun.
Bingo. Carson Wentz gets traded the first day I was gone. I was supposed to call in, and then all of a sudden something massive happens. The wife loved it, you know, right in the middle of vacation. Wife absolutely loved it. That was, you know, that got me some points, obviously. That was awesome. But, yeah, Aaron's going to – yeah, Aaron's probably going to decide what he's going to do tomorrow, if I had to guess. So I want to let everybody know you're welcome. You know when?
Thank you, Pat.
You know when you're out to dinner and you're waiting for the food to come?
Of course.
And then somebody gets up to go to the bathroom and then the food comes while it happens?
Yes.
I'm doing that right now. All right? Well, I'm doing that right now. I'm leaving. I'm going down to Houston to be a part of the first live in front of fans SmackDown for the WWE in like a year and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be awesome. But more importantly, since I'm doing that, something massive is going to break in our world. Since it is AJ, I'll be able to FaceTime into your show while you're trying to absolutely fuck up everything I have here around me. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to talk about big news. Is that what's going to happen, pal?
Yeah, I think you pretty much laid out what the next 24 hours look like. So it should be fun.
So Aaron's breaking news tomorrow? Is that what you're saying?
Ooh. Oh, I have no idea about that. No, I would guess no. But hey, you never know, though. A lot can happen between now and then.
Wow.
Hey, good tease. Are you watching this Open at all, or what have you been up to over there sports-wise?
I haven't really seen it. I was going to turn it on and have it on in the background here, but like you, I have a hard time not getting distracted by that and just staring at it and forgetting I'm doing a show with you sometimes.
So. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't like me talk, okay? I've learned through my life that I am an anomaly, all right? There was a situation when the West Virginia basketball team was playing on the same TV at the same exact spot while we were interviewing somebody, a dagger was had right into WVU season and like $10,000 out of my as it was live on air. Still continue the conversation, though, which I thought was pretty impressive. Never really gets talked about. Everybody just saw my soul leave my body. Speaking of soul leaving bodies, did you hear us talk to the soulless Chris Moutinho?
I actually saw a couple minutes, and yeah, he said that's his nickname, right? Soulless?
Soulless. Yeah, I want to prove to everybody that I don't have soul in the cage or out of the cage.
Animal. It's pretty good, I guess. I mean, you can call yourself like the sociopath, psychopath either, but soulless, I think, feels about right.
I don't think those are hand in hand, what you just did there. You just tied a couple things together there. And
well, sociopath and psychopath, you can tie those together a little bit.
You know what I think the issue is?
What's that?
You can. You're right. Your correction was correct. I would like to acknowledge that. But you know what's is there a little bit of jealousy coming from this particular jaw?
Yeah.
This particular face? Is there a little bit of jealousy?
Otherwise, she has that green hair.
Who?
Well, that's why I asked for Chris to come on in the noon hour, because I didn't know, you know, how it would go with your two forces being next to each other. A man who only missed one game his entire career after tearing his pec, his groin, his calf, his bicep, his ass, and at one point obliterating a tooth in his mouth because he doesn't wear a mouthpiece because he thinks it's bad for you, actually. Yeah. And he obliterates a tooth, zero documented concussions.
I just said, I don't know if it's good for you. I never said it was bad for you.
I mean, you did kind of put down one to lift up another in that situation. 10 dislocated fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking to this Moutinho guy as if he's the walking, talking, toughest guy on earth because he ate 200 punches. Is there a little bit of an issue you have with me calling him just maybe the toughest species we've ever had?
Absolutely not. I've never claimed to be a tough person. And Moutinho, I couldn't handle probably one of Sean O'Malley's punches if he landed clean on me. So more credit to those guys. They do things that I would never dream of doing.
I'm such a baby face.
I'm scared of fighting. Yeah, I'm scared of fighting. Like, I talk to UFC guys or MMA fighters, and I just can't believe that's what they do.
But if you were forced to fight, you know, let's go back. I would like to go back in time.
By who? Who's going to force me to fight?
Let's just say you're a forced pistol hawk.
Yeah.
Pistol hawk says, hey, listen, hey, Chopper Bopper gets involved as well. Yeah. They all get involved. They say, our family is going to be wiped off of this earth if you don't walk into that cage and fight that person. And in the same way that you handled, you know, Bull in the Ring or Oklahoma drills where you said, and this is your quote, not ours, if the only way to survive this is by killing everybody, I guess I have to kill everybody.
Uh-huh.
I think if you were forced to have that mindset, I still think you'd be an incredible fighter. And I think we potentially missed out on maybe the greatest heavyweight of all time, I think.
I think under those circumstances, a lot of people would be forced to become good fighters. So maybe, maybe in a different world.
Maybe, but those people aren't, you know, blowing their neck into their back like a... like one of these things, and their face on somebody's just knee in the NFL,
yeah,
smashing a tooth into
dust,
and then spitting and just getting back up and getting back out there. You're one of our greatest jaws. I just think Chris Moutinho is potentially right up there with you. Didn't want to have you at the same time. Didn't know what if you guys would be able to coexist. Couple updates here. Adam Schefter talked about Aaron Rodgers with Chris Collinsworth on Chris Collinsworth's podcast. I like Chris Collinsworth as podcast host. Before we get into this, by the way, I think this is a good idea for him, this whole PFF turning into a content creation as opposed to just a stats and analytics. They have said some absurd shit, okay? They have said some absurd stats that they have pinpointed and pointed out, but there's a lot of good content coming out of there, and I like Chris. You a big fan of Chris Collinsworth? You probably know him much better than me.
I mean, I definitely know of him probably better than you just because he played for the Bengals. Like, my dad was a fan of Chris Collinsworth. He's not that, you know, he's not very old. I don't know if I remember when he was in the league, but I definitely remember him as, like, people around me talking about him being a Bengals receiver. So, yeah, I mean, I like him. I find when I bring him up in other settings, I'm surprised to learn how many people don't like Chris Collinsworth at different times.
Yeah, we learned that. We've told this story before, and I kind of feel bad that we're saying it again, but it does fall perfectly into a story that should be told after what you just said.
Yes.
We were going to bring Chris Collinsworth out for our Cincinnati show in front of the audience, and it was at a rock concert venue. So,
ooh,
learned a lot there. That place was pretty wild that evening. And we're gonna have Collinsworth be the guest, and somehow it didn't work out or whatever, and we ended up having Pac-Man. And that was good news that we had Pac-Man on there, because he not only was incredible and awesome and everything like that, but when he came out, they cheered when I mentioned Collinsworth's name. Cincinnati booed him.
Oh yeah.
Oh my fucking god, I did not know that. You're right though, a lot of people do. I think he's getting a chance though to show that he's like a pretty cool guy though with this podcast. I think we're learning a lot about him. He's getting good conversations. He and Schefter talked about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Collinsworth was basically portraying everybody that says Aaron can't leave. He's got no option. He was the Green Bay Packers. And Schefter was portraying an agent or Aaron Rodgers basically saying, I'm not playing there. I don't want to do it. It was fascinating because Schefter, it feels like the person who broke the story day one of draft, as now it's come out as an accumulation of information. Day of, it said league and team sources have told ESPN. So who knows what it is. He still believes Aaron's gone. And Aaron, AJ, I think I'd be remiss to the people listening and watching if I didn't ask you, what's Schefter talking about?
Well, did Schefter say he thinks Aaron's gone, or did he say he thinks Aaron definitely does not want to be there?
Ty?
He said he wants him gone.
It's literally what he said. They ran a video. We have the video.
Yeah.
Let's run a video. You tell me what you think he says. This is from Chris Collinsworth podcast from Pro Football Focus.
I think Aaron Rodgers has been passive aggressive about this whole thing. If he wants out of there, which I think he does, I think he's got to get some mud on his hands. And I think he's got to come out and say something to this effect. I love my coaches. I love my teammates. They're incredibly important. I love the fans, and I loved playing in Green Bay. But that time for me is over. I'm moving on in my life. I'm getting married, and I am not going to be returning to Green Bay as much as that organization and those people have meant to me.
Okay, and then here's my press conference if I'm Mark Murphy or Brian Gutekunst. Aaron Rodgers has been a fantastic player for us. He's won us a Super Bowl. We love him here in Green Bay. We will always love him, and we wish him well in his retirement. Goodbye.
Now what? Now Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, okay, that's even trade me. I want to be traded.
No, we're not trading. Okay. You're playing for the Green Bay Packers. You're playing for nobody. You're under contract.
No problem, Mr. Murphy. I'm going to go host Jeopardy. Thank you for squatting on me and not getting back three first-round draft picks and various players to help your own team.
We signed you to a long-term contract. You knew what you were signing. We knew what you were signing. We want you to play here. We don't want to play against you. If you choose to retire, that's your choice.
Because you want to show me who's boss, you're not going to improve the Green Bay Packers because you want to wish me luck in retirement. Okay, good luck with that, Mr. Murphy, as your team is flailing behind Jordan Love playing quarterback.
So, hey, listen, I know we're just role-playing here, okay, and we're playing a little cosplay or whatever the hell is going on. I mean, PopCon's here in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. I know people put on costumes and do their thing. That seemed to be a pretty well-articulated, thought-out thing there by Adam Schefter. And as he said it, I was like, man, this could be how this plays out if it chooses to go that way. You maybe know some stuff in this whole thing. Why is Schefter saying that? Does Schefter know stuff? Is that something that maybe you wouldn't want to talk to Aaron about? Where is that coming from? Because a lot of Packers fans, every time Schefter opens his mouth, they think to themselves, he's gone.
I mean, I don't think that anymore, but I think you're right. I think a lot of Packers fans do think that. I mean,
and AJ, your thoughts on that whole exchange there between Chris and Adam?
Well, I guess what I take from what Schefter is saying there, that if he truly wants out, he does. He has to make a stink. He's got to do something. He's got to say something that means, like, basically trade me. And I don't think Aaron comes out and says he's retiring, but who knows at this point what's going to happen. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's different than what I thought. I didn't watch the video first. I read the comments. Him say that was basically role-playing what it could look like, yes. But if Aaron does come out and say all this stuff and then says, all right, trade me, and Green Bay says no, eventually they're going to have to trade him, though. I don't know how long it may take, but eventually they would.
And Adam Schefter might have been buying into the character there a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what By the way, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I used to watch Bull.
Of course.
I used to watch Bull, and they would – I mean, I can't watch anymore, but I used to watch Bull about how trial science is.
Wait, why?
Well, something was going on. I can't do it.
Turns out Bull's a big old scumbag.
Well, what? Bull, allegedly, yeah. I mean, it kind of ruined the whole show because when you're watching, you're like, oh, this guy's the smartest guy of all time. Of course, this is what we need to do. Bull is allegedly about what Dr. Phil did before he became Dr. Phil. Allegedly. I don't know. It was made by his son. He was a part of it as well. It was cool, though. It was like trial science and, you know, jury selection and how you go about doing your thing. And they had like a practice courtroom where they would practice, like these lawyers would practice and statements and everything like that. And it was a cool look into how things probably actually work and, you know, kind of fucked up too. I mean, I think now that you...
Oprah brought him in. That's how he made it. She brought him in to do that for whenever she was getting sued, or I think, for something.
Bingo. And then she put him on and then he became, you know, Catch Me Outside guy.
Yeah.
But like the entire thing of practicing and being in court, like Schefter, it looked like he was like, if I was Aaron, this is what I would be doing. As opposed to like everything Schefter says, we have to assume that, oh, Schefter knows something because he is Schefter. And it's like, I don't know if that's that case. I think he was just potentially buying into the character and what he could do as opposed to what probably in maybe. I don't know. Maybe, though. I have no idea.
Yeah, because if that is how it goes, you have to AJ's point, you have to assume they got to trade him if they're going to get, you know, everything, all that in return, even though, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with Jordan Love.
If that was the case, though, wouldn't it he would have started that process a while ago, don't you think? Like, I mean, what, why would, if he really didn't want to, or if he really wanted out, why would he just wait like an additional month, not say anything, and then be like, actually, you know what? Like, yeah,
great
nothing
point.
Has changed.
That
fuck
is
it,
a
I'll
great
leave.
Point by Ty. Very
well,
good point.
Well, Peyton said, we got 3 weeks of the season. You got to have a plan.
That's right.
Got to have a plan. That's what Peyton said.
Yeah, like what, if Aaron was going to do that, would he wait until the start of camp to make a comment like that and then start to stink when he knows, like, all right, if I do find somehow get traded, it may take a few weeks. Am I going to show up 4 days before my new team's opener?
Yeah, I mean, we all compliment how smart he is all the time and how every word is perfectly placed. That's how everybody views everything he says. There's a, and this guy continues to miss putt after putt.
Yikes.
Who? Rory's having rough. I mean, he just did a full putter flip in his own area down there. I mean,
what's the score?
Wow, the score? There's a lot of people playing. Right?
What is his score?
He is plus two. Fourth bogey today, though. He's getting
together, Rory.
He put a jacket on, a long sleeve on there. But we always talk about how smart he is and calculated, and that's people like hold that against him almost. And then those same people are like, yeah, he's going to be out. He's going to want to leave. He's gone or whatever. It's like, would that be smart to do at this point? I don't know if now would be the smartest time to do that. But also, I don't think any of us have a fucking clue what's going on behind closed doors, except for maybe this guy.
That guy right there.
This guy right here. It's not. Whoa.
But he is a clown because he won't tell us.
Well, he can't because there's a lot probably going on behind. There's potentially a lot going on. He has to not tell us.
Yeah, maybe.
You're the clown for thinking that he should tell us and thinking that he's a clown for not telling us.
I'm not Klein.
He is, for a lot of other reasons other than this one, though. I think he is in a tough spot.
Correct. Thank you, Pat.
No problem. I got you, because it is a tough spot to be in. If this was happening with somebody that I was teammates with and hung out with a lot, it would be wildly tough, especially after spending an entire weekend jumping off docks together.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be hanging out with that person, or else you would, you know, probably spill the beans.
Yeah, I don't have the ability, and that's, by the way, let's go back again to how incredible this man's cranium is.
Yes.
It is able to keep all of these secrets in there and not even rattle around at all. It's very impressive, AJ.
Lockbox. Thank you, AJ.
Yeah, it's a steel trap. Thank you,
incredible. Yeah. Now tell us.
We have Ian Rapport joining us
here. I wish I knew.
We cannot go to break because I cannot turn on music on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Is your neck hurt? Is your neck messed up?
No, but I am sitting on the wire, and it is.
Oh, it's a little tight back. Tight.
It happens to me all the time. I'm always messing with
it. Yeah, it is tough not to be, by the way, because it just hangs. I don't like the...
Cans?
I can't do the...
The headset?
Yeah,
the whole thing?
The whole thing gets uncomfortable. Like, my entire ear gets uncomfortable. Yeah. I just can't do it.
I'm with you. It, like, clamps down your ear after a while. I like these having the wire behind my back, too.
Yeah, I like these because it goes, you know, right in. I get good sound, and it's kind of like noise isolation.
Move around.
But I think our heads are too large, potentially, for those things. So, like, it feels like I'm almost getting cauliflower ear from those headphones sometimes when they put them on there. Nothing like buying a new pair of Beats by Dre for $700.
Hell yeah.
And then realize they don't have enough padding to protect. Oh my God, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever worn in my life. My head's too large for this. Yeah, it's tough. We're pretty cool though, you and me, AJ, with our little earpieces.
Man, that's sweet.
Aren't we?
Yeah. Pretty cool, yeah.
I mean, this is like big time show stuff, you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys wearing cans.
I'll bring my own batteries.
I don't mind the cans.
I like the cans.
Now you got.
Yeah, but you got kind of a smaller head, right?
I do, yeah.
So that thing comes around it and it really gives you like a good thing. Mine are like coming at a sideways thing, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of like a.
Cans are uneven.
Yeah, they're Sean O'Malley in my face.
Yeah.
Or my ear, I mean.
Uh-huh. Moutinho ears. Excuse me. Moutinho ears.
He's from your part of town. He beats the fuck
out of you. Smack you in the mouth.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go do a break because the show stinks.
All right, you can do a break now?
Well, music just started playing because Zito played it back here. I don't know if you heard it.
Yeah, I can hear it now.
This break of music, but what is
it?
Yeah, it's a beat.
Oh, it's just Artlist.
Oh, shout out to Artlist, which is a collection of artists that we pay a monthly fee to utilize their music. And then when we use their music, they sometimes get mad at us for not giving them credit. Well, it's like, I feel like you should get mad at Artlist.
Yes.
Yes.
It's on them.
Literally the whole point of it.
See, Foxy has to deal with these people getting upset because Foxy utilizes this music to put it in videos, and then all of a sudden somebody be like, no credit.
It's my fucking song.
It's like, well, you sold the credit to Artlist.
Bingo. That's exactly how it goes.
Good music.
It's great music.
Yeah.
And by the way, not easy to find the name of it. Actually
jump through hoops.
This is a banger though.
Man, you guys deal with a lot of things, don't you? A lot of issues.
There is a lot of bullshit in this world from what
that's what I'm saying. I'm unaware of a lot. Like, I would assume, hey, I pay a subscription fee. I can use whatever I want. That's why you don't give them credit. Or you can if you want, but you don't have to.
You know, it's not really like bullshit. It's like I don't know. I feel like we should uphold the standard in which we hope that others will operate. Like, that's how I legitimately feel. So we try to get it right. Like, I legitimately try, like, hey, we got to give credit. But this Artlist thing, like, it's not... I mean, it's like we're giving credit to Artlist.
Yeah.
Like, that's who we are paying to give, to collect the music for us. But then sometimes we'll get, you know, like, you guys are ass. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah. Sorry, pal.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm done with it. But that's why I said to Joe Pompliano, you know, like, hey, you should start. Just because I think, like, there should be some sort of, it's the wild, wild west on the internet. It always is. DCMAs pop out of nowhere. People don't know when they're doing something. But I think as long as you're at least giving effort to give credit to whose mind it was. And although you're going to find out on the internet, a lot of minds think of similar things. I mean, that is the internet. That is the world as a whole. But I think you should at least try to give effort. And I think we do. Like, I legitimately think we try to give effort. So when somebody comes out, it's like, I do feel bad. But also... like, fuck you, we're paying.
You're coming after the wrong show. Like, you always try to give credit and do the right thing.
Best.
Other people don't, it doesn't even cross their mind to think about giving credit.
But I do believe that other people will get better as well as the internet continues to be the main form, you know? Like, I think it will continue to be that way. Because it's a beautiful place. We'll have to do whatever we do. And good minds think of things. We got to give credit to them. Even if it's people we don't like.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
God, do it.
You thinking of a few people you don't like that you give credit to right now?
That's what in my head, and then I was figuring out which one I could unload into the microphone. And then I remember myself, I don't like dealing with that type of bullshit, so I'm not going to do it.
Stay away.
We interrupt this conversation to let you know that if you own a truck, you know what it's like to have your stuff rattling around the cab or under the seat, and you know what a pain it can be keeping it organized. Not only that, but everything you put in your truck bed is unsecured and exposed to the elements. That's why everyone in this office who has a truck got the Dekt drawer system. Dekt makes organizing, accessing, protecting, and securing everything you need so much easier. Each of Dekt's two full bed length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you've got. The drawers roll out waist high, giving you easy access to your organized tools and gear, and Dekt has a true 2,000 pound payload capacity load floor. The drawers slide in underneath the load floor. Plus, they're weatherproof, protecting your stuff from the elements and theft. Dekt also offers a full line of segmented storage organizational accessories like various toolboxes, bags, cargo tie downs, and other handy items for maximum efficiency, both of space and your time. The Dekt drawer system is 100% made in the USA and backed by a 3-year no-hassle warranty with a second-to-none customer service team ready to answer all your questions. Get your Dekt drawer system at Dekt.com/McAfee and get free shipping. That's Dekt.com, Dekt.com/McAfee for free shipping on your Dekt drawer system. Dekt.com/McAfee. Back to the show.
Joining us now, a man who potentially has the inside information on all of this stuff and everything happening in the NFL, probably fresh off a golf course, host of Rap Sheet and Friends from NFL.com and NFL Network, Ian Rappaport.
Yeah,
what's going on, dude?
No golf today because today's actually a work day because it's the deadline for franchise tag players to do extensions. Not that we've had any besides the three, you know, like Dak and Leonard Williams that we had earlier in the year. But I'm working today. We'll see what happens. We got 2 hours and 27 minutes to go. We'll see if we get a deal or two.
Okay, the shot clock has been activated. This year, not that big of a deal compared to years past because a lot of the free agent players signed franchise tag-like deals this offseason because of the salary cap situation with COVID. Is that why this has been so kind of lame, this entire franchise tag free agency negotiation? Or is this status quo? Do most guys who sign their franchise tag end up on their their franchise tag, because the extension period, if the relationship before the extension period started after you signed a franchise tag was bad, there's no chance the franchise tag makes it better? Or is this a different year than most?
No, I mean, I think usually this is, there's like a lot of hype for this date because there's a lot of big names who are up for deals. It's not really like that this year. I mean, even Chris Godwin is a very, very, very good player, but I would not say, like, you know, probably more underrated than overrated and well-known. He's not going to get a deal with the Bucs. He'll play on the franchise tag. That's a situation where they just extended and signed so many other players, bringing everyone back. I think that's one that they'll probably attack this coming offseason and try to retain him for 2022. You know, there's some others like Marcus May where the Jets aren't in a good place with him. He's not going to get what he wants. But then you're right. I mean, this today would have been all about Dak Prescott. We would have had endless TV shows, subjects, leads to our shows, everything about Dak Prescott. But under like the cover of darkness, him and the Cowboys did a deal, you know, basically 3 months ago or 4 months ago, whenever that was. So I think just kind of circumstance. But we got seven players. We know five are not going to get deals. I think for Taylor Moten and the Carolina Panthers, they're still working. I know both sides are open to a deal, but there's been nothing resolved yet as far as whether he's going to get one. And then Marcus Williams and the Saints, the really standout safety, I know they've negotiated heavily. I have not gotten the sense that they are close on anything, but again, 2.5 hours to go, so I've seen some things happen over the years to kind of make do something crazy. You know?
Okay, riveting. So I'm going to hit a follow up here, and then AJ will have his question that is going to be fantastic. We saw your Godwin tweet breaking that news, and if we could bring it back up immediately upon reading it, I go, Ian got a text from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that said, hey, the Bucs and star wide receiver Chris Godwin are not expected to reach a long-term extension by tomorrow's deadline, sources say. Though the team clearly values Godwin as a core player, they will work to keep him long-term this coming offseason, as they did this past offseason. So whoever's giving you the information here, I'm assuming it comes from the Bucs. Do they tell you, like, hey, we really want this to kind of have a feel of an announcement, though, that we very much want to keep him around long term? Is that how that is presented to you, that information? Or are you just you tweeting that because of the feel of how the entire negotiation has gone with Chris Godwin?
Yeah, I would say for almost all of these things, I've talked to people on both sides, right? So for Chris Godwin, like I never really thought they were going to get a deal. It didn't sound like they had a lot of traction. And again, I've known they've paid so many other guys. Like it didn't seem to me like it was going to happen. So I kind of knew going in, it was probably going to be no deal. I approached people on, you know, the different sides of this, basically with what I knew. I took the input from them. So that's, talked to the agent, I talked to a source with the Bucs. You kind of get the feel of it where, like, the players, you know, everybody would like a long-term deal, but the player's not sad. He's going to be a free agent next year. The Bucs are okay because they keep their guy, and so I think everything is probably in a pretty good place. So I just want the tweet to kind of reflect all the rosiness.
Yeah, because you could start some bullshit with that if you actually, you know what I mean? That's
well, and like the you know, like the Marcus May one, you know, he's not happy with the Jets right now. So that one was kind of had a, unfortunately, kind of had a different slant. Although I know the Jets tried, he's not happy with them. So that was kind of reflected there.
Have you heard anything new on the Richard Sherman situation? I know he's supposed to see a judge today. And how do you think this is going to hinder his chance of getting signed to a team if something, you know, I'm sure the league will have to look at it and see what's going on. But do you think he's going to be able to find his way onto a team this year?
First of all, so he's going to have a hearing in less than an hour. So he was denied bail.
Are there cameras in there? Do you know?
What's that?
Will they be televising that? Like, will there be cameras in the courtroom?
Ooh, should be. Ooh. Right? I mean, I feel like it's all – I don't know. I think it should be, but I don't know for 100% sure. But that's why – so he was denied bail, which I think caused everyone to be like, why would he be denied bail? But the way they do things is you can't have a bail until you meet with a judge and you have a hearing, and they didn't do that at all yesterday. So he just sat in jail yesterday. And now he's going to have a hearing in a little bit. They'll set bail, and then I'm sure he'll be out on bail. You know, it's a troubling situation in a lot of ways. Richard Sherman is you know, one of the bigger names on the defensive side of the ball the last decade, and I think an extremely smart person and widely respected. He has gone through some difficult personal stuff over the last couple of months. I know some people close to him who flew out there to try to sit with him and help him through what he's going through right now. It doesn't sound like, obviously, there was a breakthrough there. And you know, the 911 call was pretty disturbing, frankly. Just a window into the kind of stuff that he is dealing with. And I know it's been challenging, you know, personally, obviously professionally as well. You heard his wife say that, you know, he has discussed some very serious things with her. So I, you know, the charges are troubling. I hope he gets help. And there's a lot more there. I hope it all ends up okay for Richard Sherman.
Hey, we're on your side, Sherman. Get in. Hope nobody's affected. Obviously, you don't want any of that, but let's get on the other side of this thing. He is so awesome for the NFL when everything's humming for Richard Sherman. Hope everything ends up okay. Ian Rappaport, whenever you think about NFL news that could potentially happen from now until training camp, what should we keep our eyes open for? Nobody's going to move. No, is there announcements? Oh, Washington football team. We change a name soon? Are we going to get an inkling on that? What do you get a sense of something that we're going to be able to talk about as opposed to just projecting what the season's going to look like?
Right. So I would say you're not going to get a name for the Washington football team. That's going to happen next year, so 2022.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to keep calling them the football team and just be unable to hashtag them on Twitter for
the next year. Does that make you mad, huh? Have you voiced your concerns? Have you voiced your concerns with Raj about that? Like, hey, is there a way we can get a name, like a tweet, we can do the thing?
Look, I got two concerns on this. One, I can't hashtag. I'm the only team I can't hashtag. And I like to do a good hashtag. Makes the color come out a little different, helps people search. These are my personal problems. I'm just telling you, it's nice to hashtag. The other thing is, if I accidentally use the the previous nickname, then I get dragged, which I've done on TV. Oh, yeah. Done it? Not good.
You've done it?
By accident. Oh, yeah.
Where? NFL Network? You're just like... You know
I've
what?
Done it on the Twitters. I've done it on TV. Oh, yeah. It's total
crap. I was having dinner with Snyder last night. We were talking about how good the... And you just let it eat right there. And then what just happened? You get assaulted on the internet immediately, huh? As soon as that happens? Dragged
on the internet. It's like if you make a typo in your tweet, people just love it so much.
Hey, they might be going back to the 140 character limit, I think.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? No way.
I don't know. Good Morning Football was talking about it this morning. There had to be a reason they were talking about it. I wouldn't mind it.
I don't like that.
It wouldn't be good for you.
No, it would not be good for me. Obviously we got the Rodgers stuff. We got the Deshaun Watson stuff.
Oh, what is the Deshaun Watson stuff? There it is. Let's get into it. What is that? He's appearing in pictures. His name got dropped in an interview about maybe going to the Eagles by Schefter. Is there still some buzz? What's going on with Deshaun Watson? And there's no way he plays this year, right? There's no way this thing gets figured out with the magnitude of it before the season. There's no way, right?
Oh, I could see him playing this year. Yeah. I would say really? If he's going to be suspended by the NFL for some portion of time, which I don't know, but obviously is possible given the charges and the circumstances, that would still probably allow him to play this year. I just don't know what team it's going to be for. You know, you mentioned the Eagles. Look, they're a team with an unresolved quarterback situation and a ton of high-value draft picks. You also have teams, you know, you've had teams interested in Deshaun Watson the whole time. The teams that sort of have been a little bit rumored, you know, the Panthers, the Broncos, the Dolphins. If there are still teams interested, I think a lot of them would like his legal situation resolved. I don't know when or if that's going to happen. And I haven't gotten the sense that the Texans have made any moves to deal him either. Like, no one has said to me, Nick Caserio is picking up the phone and talking. Like, that hasn't happened yet. So we got, like, a week and a half to go before camp starts, and if that's going to pick up, you think it would be soon? So I haven't heard anything change in that situation at all.
Okay, Ty?
Ian, you just alluded to it, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. Is there any way Rodgers isn't playing in Green Bay this year? You get the inkling that he'll miss any time of training camp, or will he be there the day it starts?
I don't know if he'll be there the day it starts. I do have a strong feeling that he'll be playing for them. It has to get fixed, and they have made no moves whatsoever to trade him, nor should they. If I had Aaron Rodgers, I would never, ever trade him. I just there's definitely some middle ground that I think, you know, the team and Rodgers can find. And it's been, it's been a lot of time. There's been a lot of conversations. There's been a lot of chances to make him okay with it. And he has still never come out and said, screw them, I'm never playing there. So that to me means it's open, and we'll see if in the week and a half something can happen.
Hey, that training camp thing you said is going to get, I mean, that's maybe he even has to make the goddamn ticker.
Yeah, right, so.
And maybe has to make the ticker, and I don't want to
I saw AJ was quoted on PFT talking about he'll be there at training camp.
Oh, really? You saw that?
I got
really?
A whole article about it.
Really?
Ooh.
I didn't see that because AJ would break news in other places other than this show. That
right,
is something he
climbed. It had to be, no.
What?
I didn't say, I don't know if I ever said, did I say, I said I've stuck with from day one. I think, I don't see any way he's not with Green Bay.
Right. I think it was exactly what you've said previously, but still the headline was different.
Thank you for your time, Ian. You're always the best. Enjoy your day. Can't wait to see the franchise tag coverage and obviously everything going on in Washington State right now with a guy we hope ends up being all good in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, host of Rap Sheet, and for any updates?
No updates. Season's coming. I mean, much like Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, you'd like resolution, but I haven't heard any. So still defunct or on hiatus, still on hiatus.
Three very, very, very different situations. Ladies and
I would
gentlemen.
Say similar.
No. You'd be wrong. Ian Rappaport.
Yeah,
jeez Louise. All right, so we got some franchise tag conversation in there. We did it.
Let's go.
Congratulations to us.
Yeah.
Hey, am I missing something, but is this franchise tag day like a big thing in the past and I just didn't recognize or I didn't notice it?
I don't think so, but I think there is a little bit more angst amongst players and teams in years past about the franchise tag as there is this year because, you know, everybody's taking and wanting one-year deals because the salary cap's about to be absurd. I think a lot of people are going to want shorter deals going forward. Yeah. A lot more bet on yourself mentality, I think, by the athletes in the NFL right now. The future contracts, so interesting and fascinating. Chris Ballard saying you can kick it down the road. You're going to eventually have to catch up to it or whatever. Maybe, but what if you win four championships with it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then what if you win two or three championships and then guess what? You're not the GM anymore. You don't have to deal with the aftermath.
Yeah, you just take your bow. You're welcome for what I
thanks.
Did.
I'm done.
I left this place completely fucked. But we did win. Good luck to whoever follows me. That is, you know, that's potential. That could happen. There's a guy with a incredibly large bill of the hat on his head right now, talking on the Golf Channel on what? The Open. His hat seems to be
massive. It's like a Klein's hat. Wait, the bill, like the little kid in the Sandlot has a long bill?
Yes. Unless this guy has a smaller head than any human I've ever seen. That might have been the biggest hat I've ever seen in my entire life. But
Simpson hey, I just, saw, go ahead. Pat, I saw Zalatoris chip one in for an eagle, I believe, on a par four.
Zalatoris?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. He was invited to the Open, so that means he's got his official thing, because there at the beginning we were wondering if he was going to be invited. Have we followed Zalatoris all year? How's he doing?
I don't know if he has got his official tour card yet, but if you place like a top five in a major, which he did this year, you automatically get into another major this year.
Come on, Patrick. Make the putts.
I think Morikawa, I believe, is playing very well today as well.
Hey, this is his type of course. You see, it's good for his eye because he's good with the clubs.
That's right. And I think Zalatoris finished at one under, so he's
let's
very
go,
much in contention.
Zalatoris, boys. Hey, you know what they say, easy come, easy go out there at the Open.
That's right.
If that wind flips sides, it's a whole different course, AJ. It's a whole different course over there.
By the way, the town is called Sandwich, England. So
they're in Sandwich, England?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That place is awesome.
Beautiful this time of year.
Is that where the name Sandwich came from?
I don't know. But
are they the ones that started stacking carbs and putting meat in between it?
Feels like
England, I owe a debt of gratitude to that I'm not sure I'll ever be able to
pay. I do believe so. I think they're named after the Earl of Sandwich.
This is my favorite town that has ever come into existence when it comes to the culinary aspect of the world. Pizza, also very high up there, but I am a sandwich person. Always have been, always will be. Wanted to open a restaurant called Everything's a Sandwich, where I literally turned everything into a sandwich. Chicken parm, spaghetti, cool. We're going to take a roll. We're going to make that a sandwich.
Boom.
Every single meal, which is how I ate, by the way, for about 10 to 15, still doing it basically. Sandwich England holds a very dear, dear place in my heart. I fucking love, who's the mayor of Sandwich England?
Sandwich England gave its name to the food by the way of John Montagu, 4th Earl of Sandwich, and the word sandwich is now found in several languages.
Thank you, Earl Sandwich.
Thank you. Thank you.
Earl of Sandwich.
4th Earl of Sandwich. Yeah. So the Earl is a title.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. His name
is not Earl.
Yeah. Okay.
He's the 4th Earl of Sandwich.
Okay, I thought it was Earl Sandwich.
His name's John Montagu.
a substantial gambling problem, too. So is that why you like him, Diggs?
Who?
What are you
read the last line of that.
John Montagu had a substantial gambling problem that led him to spend hours on end at the card table.
Big sandwich guy, big gambler.
I think, yeah, those two go, you know, they say peanut butter jelly.
Yeah.
You know, they say peas and carrots.
What?
Chocolate and peanut butter.
What?
Adam and Eve.
What?
I don't know.
Montagues and Capulets.
What?
Well, they don't. That's not the way they did it.
Earls and sweatshirts.
But Montagu, if you're a sandwich, if you're the founder of a fucking sandwich, you're probably going to be a pretty big gambler. You're trying to eat things quickly and on the go. That's because you got more bets to make, more moves to make. Shout out to John Montagu.
Thank you, Johnny.
Montagu in 1762, 14 years before America said, fuck you, create a goddamn sandwich.
It's huge.
And that is what I'm here for.
Thank you, John.
Man, I knew I loved sandwiches. I didn't know John Montagu is a guy. Is he an Italian? Is that an Italian name?
No, he's English.
Yeah, it has to be.
Montagu, actually.
Yeah, become the 4th Earl of Sandwich by being from elsewhere.
Somewhere not named Sandwich?
Yeah. Boom.
It's a royalty thing? Yeah. Does every town have royals in England?
Oh, yeah.
Every town?
I don't know if it's every town, but there is a fair amount.
So there'd be like a Duke of Indianapolis if this was England?
It'd be beautiful.
But they'd be from the royal family. And then they send them out there like, hey, this is your area now. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's George, actually.
I'm thinking of calling this roast beef.
John seems to look pretty similar to every Whig Party member that the United States government had seen throughout its existence.
It was popular hairdo back in the day.
Yeah. Well, it actually was a wig.
Yeah.
Really? Lawyers had to wear it.
It was popular. It was
everyone.
By the way, in some places, they still
do that, right?
Parliament.
What's that?
Parliament.
Go ahead.
Parliament.
Yeah, Parliament.
Yeah.
Hey, they wear those costumes still.
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting judged by somebody in that costume and then being like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am? What are you fucking
take
doing?
Take the fucking wig off. God damn it.
Could you imagine? I guess it's tradition. That's the way it goes. There's a lot of law traditions.
You don't need to wear the wig. I mean, you could keep the wig out. Didn't they wear the wigs originally back in the day because they had all kind of like lice and diseases growing on them?
Just something you would know.
For real, I think the wigs were started for like rich people that could cover up whatever was going on, like whatever kind of situation they had.
Toupee.
Respect. And wigs are still doing that, I think. Let's go to Robert in Texas. Robert on the 5-Hour NG phone line, 5hourng.com. Go ahead and get yourself $10 off or 10% off your next order at 5hourng.com. Official summer flavors are available, obviously.
I don't want to cut off the caller, but in the mid-17th century, a balding scalp was a sign that someone had syphilis. So that's why they wore the wigs.
Nah, you ain't never know if I got syphilis.
Uh-huh.
You're at least going to have to take the wig off to find out. All right. Robert, what do you want to talk about? What part of Texas are you in?
I'm in El Paso, Texas.
Ooh, that's high elevation right up there. You guys are high elevation, El Paso.
Oh, yeah. I'm right by the mountains.
Ball flies far down there. UTEP? UTEP, that
bombs.
UTEP,
Aaron Jones, baby.
Hell yeah.
Hey. Yes, sir, long-term deal. Going to be a Green Bay Packer. Well, everybody else, ooh, I don't know. Is Aaron Jones? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about, Bob?
I know we were on the subject of MMA earlier and Chris Moutinho, but I actually want to talk about someone else getting the shit ripped out of him and Dewey Haskins by his wife. What is your opinion about that?
All right, Robert. Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
This guy just want to take shot Dewey Haskins. I know.
Someone's got to.
The tough thing is, though, he just got married or engaged, though, right?
Something happened. Yeah, this all went down on July 3rd, and then he posted a picture of him being engaged, and then they're describing it as his wife, and then they're renewing vows, allegedly, and she punched him in the mouth, attacked him in Vegas. He lost a tooth. She's back in court. Once again, an incredibly sad situation popping off right now in the NFL. Dwayne Haskins is going into the Ben Roethlisberger leadership camp here as he becomes a Pittsburgh Steeler. Everybody knows he has the amount of talent to be great. Will he be able to figure it all out? Hopefully the people around him are on the same page as he is if he wants to figure this out. This is not a incredibly fun situation to talk about. Shout out to Robert bringing it up down there in Texas. We're not going to talk about it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man, it always happens. Like, there's a lull in the summer when stuff just happens, and unfortunately, a lot of bad things tend to happen when people have off time.
It's free time. You know, every schedule is regimented whenever you're in the season. It is Groundhog's Day for 6 months. It's just the same day, same day, same day. Then you get a little freedom, and that's when all shit pops off. They used to give us presentations in the NFL about when arrests happen. Now, I was one of the OGs. I got in October.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, so that was something. When alcohol arrests or when alcohol is involved with an arrest, they have, like, the time that happens. The off season is just, you might as well just go ahead and circle that thing. And it's not just the off season; it's the summer in between OTAs and training camp where really the weather starts to break. You know you're about to go into a six-month sentence here for football. Let's get it all out of our system, and shit seems to happen. Hope everybody gets it figured out. Hope that Dwayne Haskins also, you know, figures it out in his relationship. It seems like they still got married or engaged after this whole thing happened.
Yeah, sure. A couple of happy memories.
Hopefully they figure that out.
Him and Tony playing ball together on Saturday.
Ask him about it, Tony. You guys are going to be in Diamond. Hey, whenever you're throwing it around after that, you go, hey, dude, what's going on? Are we still married?
Hey, where's that tooth?
Hey. What's your problem?
Just dude, to find out if he got it.
He's a teammate. He's trying to build the chemistry up. And which tooth was it, if you could ask? That is crazy. Was this a hook or a jab?
All right. That's the show. Thanks to all the guests. Thank you to everyone who listened. Pat will be on the show tomorrow from Houston. A couple big, big guests. AJ Hawk will be in studio. Once again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening, watching along, interacting with us. There's a lot of shit out there that you could listen to, and we appreciate that you spend time with us. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.